So let's get some reaction from Dave Richardson, who's a media spokesman for the Thames Valley branch of Rail Future. Hello to you there, Dave.
Well, it's good to hear all these positive things coming out, but I think we really have to wait and see the detail. Certainly, we've been pressing for flexible season tickets for some time to take account of the fact that working practices have changed. So let's see exactly how they come out and how much flexibility there is. If, for example, one week you only work one day, the next week you work three, then you're not too sure about the following week. We need something really flexible to suit the passenger. As for the end of the franchises, well, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because some of the owning groups have failed badly in the past, and the shareholders of some groups, including First Group, have been in open revolt because they lost a lot of money. So I don't think they'll lose any money in the future scenario, but nor will they make much. So will this mean the bigger owning companies, and they are very large transport groups, international groups, will they be keen to take it on in the future? I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. It would be good to see some private enterprise continuing to flourish, but we need a centrally funded, workable railway system in Britain like they have in France or Germany. We often think about continental railways as being a lot more efficient than ours, but they are state-owned, effectively, and we are taking a step back into state ownership now. Let's make it work, let's invest in it, and let's hope the private sector can play a part.
Okay, so looking at it, as it stands at the moment, there's definitely, if nothing else, some sort of merging going on, isn't there? I mean, obviously, it was taken apart when it went from British Rail to the various franchises and Network Rail doing it. Some of it has joined back together again. What impact do you think that will have on commuters and rail travel generally?
Well, I don't think we'll see any immediate impact for a start. I think the main benefit to commuters and regular travellers, leisure travellers in the future, is going to be the overhaul of the fares system. We need to see simplification. We need to see good fares available if you just turn up on the day, because at the moment you only really get good fares if you're prepared to book in advance. Now, we understand and accept the principle of that, and I'm sure some element of that will remain, but if you're going to penalise the passenger who just turns up once a go with fares which are frankly not value for money, then people will desert the railways. And the priority at the moment, above all else, is to get confidence back, because usage of the rail system is still well below 50% of what it was before the pandemic. You've only got to go down to any station car park in the morning and look at how empty it is and wonder where all the commuters have gone. So a lot of people now working from home, a lot of people thinking, well, do I need the train? I'd rather be safe and stay in my car. We need to change that mindset, otherwise there's no chance of us meeting our carbon reduction targets.
Because ultimately, I suppose that is the future, isn't it, where a lot of things are going to be slightly different. But the other interesting thing is that you've sort of alluded to it, but do you think that the government doesn't want to stump up the whole bill for the rail network, like perhaps, as you said, France or Germany, but they need other rail companies to sort of be private enterprise within it, but it doesn't feel so appealing to them now?
No, I fear it won't be. And the railways have been, throughout the privatised era, a big burden on the taxpayer. It's a myth to believe that suddenly it all became private and there was no risk. Even the larger intercity train operators received quite a lot of subsidies in one form or another. So the railways have been an ongoing cost to the taxpayer, and rightly so, because you can't invest in a national network, some of which will always lose money. Not all of it. Some bits will make money. A lot of it will lose money. But it's a national asset. So really, you need to invest in it, and that's what taxpayers have continued to do throughout the privatised era. But have they had value for money? I would say probably not. So we need closer control, which the Great British Railways is presumably offering to do, to actually be run by professional railway people who know what they're doing, and you know, to keep control of things. But there were some bad failures of privatised operators, not so much in our region, but particularly on the East Coast route out of London King's Cross, which were truly embarrassing. The companies overbid for franchises. They committed thousands of millions of pounds and they couldn't meet the bills and they handed back the keys. And that's happened in several parts of the country. It's been a bit of a national disgrace, to be frank, and we're very glad to see the end of that. But we do need to see a commitment to keep on funding. Otherwise, you know, the spectre is a bit further down the line. We could see service cuts. And at the moment, we have a very good rail service. Services are now getting back to normal after the pandemic, particularly Great Western, which is running pretty well a full service. And we need that to continue to have, you know, the kind of long trains we've got now with plenty of capacity so people can space out, people can feel safe. And we need that to continue. And we need to see this ongoing investment, because without it, there could be service cuts, there could be people deserting the railways, and what's going to happen to our carbon reduction targets? We won't meet them.
Dave, really good speech. Thank you very much indeed. Dave Richardson there, media spokesman there for the Thames Valley branch of Rail Future.